Well, the last couple of weeks, you've heard some great preaching from Pastor Chrissy and Pastor Craig. Pastor Chrissy spoke on Wake Up, Church. And Pastor Craig, he spoke on getting in the position, in God's position. And I was thinking about that, Lord, what do you want me to, you know, follow up on that on? And he says, well, I want you to speak on the power, which is what I've been doing this year, but the power of the Word. Because it's really good. If we wake up, there's a few things we've got to do. And if we position ourselves, there's a few things we've got to do before and after we've positioned ourselves. And I believe it's got a lot to do with the Word. Now, I know we have a politician in the room this morning, but over the last 5 years, I've had to liaise with politicians, both in a number of countries, Asian countries, and recently here in Australia. And I noticed that there is a lot of double speak, these politicians. A lot of double speak. And me being a very good person with English, sometimes it's hard to understand what people are saying. For instance, just a couple of creative double speak terms currently in vogue. This is the first one: meaningful downturn in aggregate output. Which is a recession. You know, just say recession. Or I like this one. Look, there is a lot of after-sales service for you. It's a kickback. All right, so it's a kickback. There's also resource development park, which is a rubbish tip. Temporarily displaced inventory. I love this one. Stolen goods. All right, and strategic misrepresentation. The politicians are good at this. It's a lie. How about this? Reality augmentation. It's another lie. And terminological inaptitude. It's another lie. It seems to me that when we redefine and reinterpret and reinvent the meaning of words, they tend to lose their power and significance. And unfortunately, I think it's some in recent years have tried to do a similar thing to the Word of God that we're going to be talking about today, actually the Word. And in the process of redefining and reinterpreting and reinventing the Word of God, we have lost both the power and the significance of what the Word can do for us personally, for our churches, and for the ability to fulfill God's mission here on earth. Now, there are specific reasons that the Word of God is powerful, and I want to share with you these facts this morning. And I do so in hope and prayer that you will take what is learnt from today and begin applying it to your life immediately. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the Word this morning, as always, will not return void. Lord, I pray, let every heart, every soul in this room be so attentive to what you would have to say, not what I would have to say, but what you would have to say to them this morning. I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be upon us all, even to the extent of elbowing our neighbour if they're falling asleep. We say, wake up! And we say, position ourselves this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You ready? The Word. It is powerful because of its nature. Now, I'm using the word nature here in a sense of essential characteristics and qualities. When we speak of the Word, what is it made of? Well, it's made of, the Word is multifaceted. Write that down in your outline. The Word is multifaceted. Usually when we make a reference to the Word of God, we're talking about the Bible, aren't we? But the Word of God is not limited to one representation. The Word of God is the written word of God, but it's also quite literally Jesus Christ himself. Now, there are two Greek words translated for word in our Bibles. And the one we're going to pay attention to this morning is the word logos. All references will be to the word logos this morning. Now, I think you're familiar with the term word, and some of you will be familiar with the term logos, okay, being used in the Bible. So let me spend a few minutes explaining how the word is Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen. If anything this morning, I want you to listen to this part. Okay, in the beginning, John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word, logos. And the word, logos, was with God, and the word logos was God. Let that sink in. Now, John's writing to the Greeks, and the Greek mind logos, okay, I'm going to write this down, means reason or thought. John claims that this thought or reason or logos was with God. Listen to this. In the beginning was the thought and reason. And the thought and reason was with God. And the thought and reason was God. The Greek mind could accept this idea, and I think God thinks, but John goes a step further and claims that the thought or word was God. See, not only does God have thought, but he is the thought. The Logos isn't just something that comes from God, but the Logos is God. You understanding here? John 1:14. The word, logos, or thought, the thought and reason, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, he claims that this logos of God has actually come to earth in form of human flesh. And he is talking about Jesus Christ, who is the living Word of God. He is the living Logos of God. He is the living reason of God. He is the living thought of God. Now, there is a whole lot more I'd like to say in this, but for our purpose today, just remember that the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is the written word we find in the Bible. Both fully and completely represent God's will, his thought, his actions, his feelings toward humankind. That is what this is. Jesus Christ. His thoughts, his feelings, his desires, everything is in here for you and me. Now, the Word of God is eternal. 1 Peter 1:23 says, this new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God, living thought of God. You understand what I'm saying? Living reason of God. Verses like this should begin to make more sense to you now that you've established that Jesus is the Word. He is the reason. He is the thought. The Word has no beginning or end. It has always existed and will always exist, just like Jesus. Amen? I mean, we hear it in the community today, this SSM debate. A lot of people are saying, oh, look at the Bible. It's so irrelevant. You know, it says in the Bible they should stone women and do all these horrible things. And I've had many arguments with people. Say, yeah, it does say that. It does say stone the women and stone this and do this and cut off people's heads there. But that was the old covenant. And he says, they say, what do you mean old covenant? Because non-Christians don't understand the blood and they don't understand covenant. They don't understand things. And I said, well, that was then. But then when Jesus came, because when you've got free will that God gave us in the beginning, when you've got free will, that really hurt then. When you got free will and sin, that's a disaster. When you've got the free will and the devil, that's a disaster. And God saw that we were going down the slippery slope. So what did he do? What did he do? He came to earth as flesh in Jesus Christ. He came to show us how to live. And went to the cross and died. 3 days later, rose again to show us that we can have eternal life with him. All our sins are paid for. He came and died for our sins. The word of God is eternal. The word of God is alive. The Word of God is not some dull, lifeless book that sits on our shelves. Are you listening to me? How many people have got Bibles sitting on their shelves? It is a fully and completely alive, just as Jesus is fully and completely alive. You know, just the other day I was at the footy grand final, and I was at the local with a couple of mates, and I said to them, you know, just to remind you that Michael Jackson died a few years ago, and they call him the late Michael Jackson. They went, yeah. And I said, well, Nelson Mandela, you know who he is, Nelson Mandela. And they say, yeah, yeah. Well, they call him the late Nelson Mandela, don't they? And they say, yeah, cause he's dead. Gaddafi died a few years ago. They call him the late Gaddafi. Muhammad died, and guess what they call him? Late Muhammad. You know where I'm going, don't you? But over 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth died, and nobody, not even the devil, calls him late Jesus Christ. Glory to be God in the highest. We are serving a living Christ. He is alive, he lives, he reigns, and he rules. Amen? Amen to the Lamb of God, the bread of life, the brook of living water, the rock of ages, the promise keeper. When you spend time in the Word of God, you are spending time getting to know the resurrected, living Savior, Jesus Christ. That is how powerful this book is. The Word is supernatural. Ooh. Now, when I became a Christian, I first opened up myself to the power of the Word of God. I used to always think that is not relevant. Even when I was going to church as a young person, I thought that is not relevant for today because the world told me it was not relevant. And then I started to do this course with Sally, and all of a sudden this course had Bible verses to modern day things that were going on. I'm going, oh my goodness, this is so relevant. On how to love my wife, on how to love my children, on how to love my brothers and sisters, on how to react in situations at work or in the school place. Everything I could imagine was in here for me to live a better life. When you share the Word of God with someone, you are not working alone. God is fully present, working on the minds of those who you are sharing it with. Isaiah 55:11 says, so is my word, thought and reason. So is my thought and reason that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. See, God's word will accomplish his desires and his purpose even when we're not aware of what is going on. God is continuously working through his word. Secondly, it is powerful because of its effect. I've got a cartoon here I want to show you. It says, I haven't actually died to sin, but I felt faint once. It's a good example of a person that has not allowed the word of God to affect them in a positive, life-changing way. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us what to do, what is right. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Can I have the next slide, please? A few weeks ago, you were here where Dave Bonanno presented this to you. This here, Dave Bonanno actually made up. God gave him this. And this here has actually gone global. I actually spoke at the Victory Life Pastors morning, and they wanted copies of this to take with them back around overseas. Because I think this is the key that we need to understand. And I'm going to go over it with it. So sorry, Dave, if I stuff things up here. But this is how I see it. I see the world today, we've got so much raw data or raw facts and our feelings, which are unstable and reliable, inconsistent and irrational, that are forming opinions today. That's the world. Okay? That is the world. Because they don't know the truth. What does it say? The truth is absolute, it is unchanging, it is knowable, it is searchable, it is reliable. That is the truth. What is the truth? I am the way, the truth, the life. What is the truth? Jesus Christ. What is the truth? This Bible is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. You see, when we go by our feelings and raw facts, and raw data, raw facts may be, evolution. Evolution is a fact, yes. Yeah, I believe that, I feel that, it's right in my heart, so that's my opinion. Is it the truth? No. What is the truth? Biblical truth is far more than a collection of facts, feelings, and opinions. You can understand now, can't you, why we're not of this world. You can now probably see it a lot clearer what's happening in this world today, a lot of things that are going on. And I dare say what's already happened in England, the fall of Christianity. And I believe the church over there is just going, oh my goodness, what is going on? It's unbelievable. But this is what we're fighting against. We're fighting against people with feelings that have opinions through facts, but it's not the truth. And we've got to get back to the truth. The same truth that Australia was founded on. The same truth that England was founded on. The same truth that most of the Western civilization was founded on. We've got to get back to the truth. It's very clear that if we open ourselves up to God's word, some significant changes are going to be taking place. Now let me stop here just for a minute and say that if you're not spending time in God's word, in God's thoughts, in God's reasons, you're not going to change. You're not going to transform. It's not going to have an effect on you. If you haven't been reading your Bible in the last week, I'd venture to say that you haven't even changed anything this week. If you haven't been reading your Bible regularly this year, I have no doubt that you haven't seen many, if any, changes in your spiritual life at all this week. We've got to be in the Word of God. The supernatural power of the Bible will only take effect when you not only read the Word of God, but when you allow it to penetrate your heart. Please don't come to me complaining that you're not experiencing spiritual victory if you're not spending time in the Word of God. A lot of things have been happening here at Hillside over the last few months. We've seen the power of the Holy Spirit. We've seen a move of the Holy Spirit. With something new, something refreshing is happening. And I believe it's because a lot of you are starting to read the Word of God. You're starting to pray more. You're starting to read more. That's the question that I ask people. Are you reading the Word of God? Are you reading God's reason? Are you reading God's thoughts? You know, there are groups of people that come here every morning for prayer. They get into the Word. They pray. They get into the Word. They pray. They pray. They get into the Word. And I have seen changes in their lives. I've seen changes in the way they make decisions. I've seen changes in their marriages. I've seen changes in the way they address other people or they associate with other people. It is amazing. But it's the truth. They are living testimony of what I'm talking about this morning. It also has an effect on our minds. Prior to coming into a relationship with Christ, the biggest problem we had was not our actions that were displeasing to God, but our corrupt thought life that led to our God-dishonoring actions. Now, I cannot and will not change the way I act until I change the way that I think. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God, for the reason or the thought of God is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Wow! Some of you know my story. I tried everything to break free from the rubbish, from smoking, from drugs, from alcohol, from doing dumb things. I am living proof of God's transforming Word. I am living proof of God's transforming power. It's a sign. I don't need it anymore. Holding you to that. It wasn't until I read the Word of God did I realize that I needed His strength. I needed His wisdom. I needed His Word. I needed His reasons. I needed His thoughts. I needed His love to break free from all the strongholds that were in my life. That is how powerful the Word of God is. God has provided us with a tool that can expose every thought and desire that we have ever had. And it can show us clearly what we need to do, to do what is right with Him. The Word of God can transform our minds until we begin to think like Jesus Christ Himself, because the Word of God has come to us in the form of living Christ. Of the living Christ. It also has an effect on our actions. When God has transformed my mind, I must follow that begin to do things and say things and act in the way that are different from the way that I did them before. That is what repentance is. Do we ever hear that being preached anymore? Repentance. It's a pretty hard pill to swallow in our world today, isn't it? And a lot of the times it's okay. You're covered with God's grace. And you are. Oh, you're covered with God's mercy. He loves you. Love is love. You know what? I'm sick and tired of hearing that on the radio and on the TV. Love is love. You know what love is? Love is the Lamb of God. Amen. That's what it is. Amen. Love is the Lamb of God who died for you and me. That's what love is. Repentance. It's not just being sorry for activities that displease God, but actually changing those activities so that my life is now pleasing to God. It is taking the sinfulness of our lives and laying it by the wayside so that we can now live in holiness. Sorry, in the holiness of God Himself. It has an effect on our purpose. When the Word of God gives me the ability to think like Jesus and act like Jesus, it only makes sense that I will now adopt the same purpose for my life as Jesus. And while we could talk of many specific purposes that different people might be given, and they are, all of us who follow Christ have the same purpose of living our lives to bring glory to His name. And that is my prayer for the church, that each and every living soul in the church brings glory to His name, no matter who we are, no matter what we do. When I understand and accept that that is true, I'm well on my way to living a life of satisfaction, of joy and hope for my future. And I can say this, standing up here, I can say this. I have now a satisfied life. I have satisfaction. You know what? I have joy. Yeah, there are moments in my life where things get a bit difficult. Like when I leave here today and go home and say, "Happy anniversary, honey," again and again and again and again. But my life is full of joy. My life is full of hope. Full of hope. My life is full of hope for my future. Is yours? Is yours? Lastly, it is powerful because of its potential. Now I'm finally getting to the passage that I wanted to talk about to you about this morning, and I've saved it till last because it is an application of what I'm talking to you about real life, especially what's been happening here at Hillside over the last 3 or 4 months. Acts 19:13-20. It goes like this. Some Jews who went out around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. Sounds good, doesn't it? They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva and a Jewish priest were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Now, I don't know about you. I've seen a couple of pub brawls, but I've never seen anyone leave bleeding and naked. These guys would have copped a smashing. You think about it. Not just a slap up the side of the head. These guys copped it. He gave them such a beating, they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to about 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the Lord, the word of the Lord, the reason of the Lord, the thought of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. See, what we have here are some folks trying to use the supernatural power of the word, Jesus. Hope you stick with me here. The supernatural of the reason, the supernatural of the thought, Jesus, without having an inward dwelling of the word, the thought, the reason of Jesus in their hearts. You know, the devil believes in Jesus. Here is a warning, people. You can shubba-shubba all you like. You can use Jesus' name all you like. But you've got to know the reason, the thought, the word. You've got to know Jesus if you're going to do that. Be very careful. I don't want to see any of you running around naked and bleeding. But I'm serious. The church today, there are a lot of Christians that are naked and bleeding because they've come in from the world and they think that they can do amazing things in the name of Jesus Christ without knowing Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know his reason? Do you know his thoughts? Do you know God? Now, they tried to cast out demons, and for some folks with the authority of Christ, but since they had not surrendered themselves to the authority of Christ, they had no power. Now, what is amazing here is what happened as a result of this, because it shows us the potential the Word of God can have on our personal lives. The potential is that the potential for personal victory. Those who trusted the Word of God found their lives changed dramatically as a result. Not only did they accept the Word intellectually, but they accepted it as life, as a life-changing source. You know, they confessed all their wrongdoings, and some of the folks that they had been into witchcraft and the occult brought all their incantation books out, and together they had a big bonfire. And Luke tells us that the books were a value of 50,000 drachmas, which is about nearly 7 million Australian dollars back then. Now, why did they burn all these books? Because they knew that they were in contrary to the word of God, the reason, the thought of God. And they were affecting them in a negative way. Just take a look around you in the world today. Look what's happening. But by turning those books, By burning those books, they were removing a part of their lives that were displeasing to God so that they could start fresh on a pathway to holiness. They didn't just say that they wanted to be like Christ. They started actually living like the Christ. And the Word of God gave them the ability to do that. The reason of God gave them the ability to do that. The thoughts of God gave them the ability to do that. Jesus Christ gave them the ability to do that, as he does for each and every one of us. The potential is for church growth. In Acts 19:20, it says, in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely. The thought of the word, the reason of the word spread widely and grew in power. As a result of what happened that day, God's word spread far and wide and many others were added to the faith. See, when people see that the word of God can really change your life and that you are better off with this result, they start wanting what you have. Acts 6:7, so the word of God spread and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly and a large number of priests, a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Wow. There's a lesson here for some pastors as well, or for all pastors, ministers of religion. Acts 12:24, but the word of God continued to increase and spread. So you get the picture. The word of God, the reason of God, the thought of God has the potential to bring you personal victory. And your personal victory has the potential to bring others to the kingdom because of your testimony, because of your transformation in Jesus Christ, in the living word, in the living reason, in the living thought. As a result of your life being changed and my life being changed, and a whole lot more lives are going to be changed, and the church will grow as a result. We are committed to transformation in Jesus' name. Has the potential for worshiping God. You know, you cannot spend time with the Word of God without being drawn into the worship of God. The two go hand in hand. When I spend time in the Word of God, I'm getting to know God on an intimate level. I learn how much He loves me. I see how much He wants me to be with Him and how much He really cares for me. I learned that God, the God of the universe, became human flesh and came to earth so that He could die in my place and take my punishment that I deserved. I learned that God wants nothing more than to be in a relationship with me, not on a short-term basis, but for all of eternity. And I learned that God has always loved me and will never stop loving me, no matter what I do or have done. See, when I begin to discover these things through the Word of God, through the reason of God, through the thought of God, through the written Logos of God, I have to stop and offer Him worship, because the more I know Him, the more I have to give Him the praise and the glory and the honor. Can I have the music team up here, please? Now, when I started to go through this sermon, I always had in the back of my mind, I was always wondering, how much time are my people, are your people, Lord, spending in the Word of God? Is it just once in a while? Is it maybe just on a Sunday? Or you read it up here? Or sometimes I might get up and babble my way through and make some sense, or try to make some sense of the Word of God. Is that the only time where you're into the Word of God? Is it daily? When I can attest that my wife, who have been married for 23 years, hallelujah, today we celebrate our 23rd year anniversary. Every morning I wake up and she's in the Word of God. Are you in the Word of God all the time? Before you go to bed, just before the 6 o'clock news or after the 6 o'clock news. Or never. Or is your Bible just sitting on the shelf collecting dust? Because you've given your life to Christ, that's all that matters. You know, I had that thought as a young Christian. I said, anything past the cross, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Ah, I don't need to read the Word. And I found myself struggling in the world, struggling with temptation, struggling with addiction, struggling all the time until I actually picked up the Word of God and started getting into it. It transformed my life. The power of the Word will be demonstrated in your life to the measure that you devote yourself to the Word. So you devote yourself to God's reason, God's thoughts, Logos. No devotion, no power. No devotion, no power. Lots of devotion, guess what? Lots of power. No devotion, hard life. Lots of devotion, good life. It's not going to be easy sometimes. It doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say it's going to be easy life. Good life. I know that God is looking for some people that are willing to say today, today is the day that I start fresh in reading, in studying, in devoting myself to the Word of God, to the reason of God, to the thought of God. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to do that today?